Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jordan Mailata joining us shortly. By the way, Jordan Mailata, a star, his name on the show, got his name on the show before I did, first. His name's first and only on the show.
Yep.
Here he is, as he joins us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
And Jordan, he got us new chairs.
He did get us new chairs. Jordan, I can't thank you enough for getting us the new chairs.
Hey, sometimes you just have to ask.
Wow.
Well, the right person has to ask.
Yeah, yeah. Can I tell you, it matters who is asking for the chairs. I can confirm that.
Fair enough. How's your day going?
We're all right. How are you? How's the day off so far? Hate to interrupt it.
It's going great. Going great. Just putting out fires.
You've already been putting out fires.
Putting out more fires.
So I would love to ask you a little bit further about something we talked about on the show last night in you mentioning that you guys are breaking the huddle late and not getting to the line quick enough, which is not giving you enough time to get the calls off at the line of scrimmage. Can you give a little more context as to what is happening slowly, whether it's getting, you know, back to the huddle, whether it's the calls coming in, and then what the sort of optimal, when you line up, what you want to see on the play clock in terms of timing when you want to line up, just to give, I think, people more context as to what you're seeing and feeling and what the optimal version of that is.
I don't think there is a right answer for that. Ike knows this. It's more of a feel thing. So some, you know, when you get the play in the huddle, those are stuff that we can speed up, right? Ideally, you want to break the huddle, you know, 24 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We don't really break it. You know, and we're a little bit under that, and we need to be better at that. We need to have some more urgency on that. So that's what I mean by just saying that. Some plays we're on the ball. You know, we break the huddle. Well, there is no huddle because we're on the ball, or no huddle offense, and it's all just about identifying what we see, getting to the play call, and just executing it. Now, I think it's hard to, or a little bit unrealistic to kind of get more detailed into it, just because the ebbs and flow of a game, mm-hmm. you just kind of react and off whatever defense we're getting and mm-hmm. whatever play call we're getting in. So, yeah, that's all I got for you.
So, No, it's okay. So I suppose that is some of, when you guys were sort of in hurry up against the Rams in the second half, some of the advantage of that is that there was more time at the line to diagnose what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's like common knowledge.
Yeah, that makes common sense is what you're really saying.
Well, common knowledge for you.
That's why you're on the show. Did you watch the games?
I do watch the games, but I'm not in the games.
And Ike played, I mean, it was a different game. They weren't neck rolls back then.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Huge shoulder pads. You should see them.
Unnecessary shots at me.
Well,
it's every guy. Oh, yeah. Ike knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying, Spike, is that the league was easier back then. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, much more simple, for sure. Yeah.
That is Jack, by the way.
A lot of I formations. And, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of simple.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you a dose of what the media does here in Philly.
So. Oh,
ooh, what, interesting.
What is that? What is that?
Like that. But that's been a Rooney right there. Anyway, continue with the question.
Yeah, it's all the media's fault, always. So you are you're four games into the Kevin Petullo era as an offensive coordinator. How different would you say the offense is that you're running this year from last year? And how far along do you think you are in sort of perfecting is the wrong word, but being in a rhythm as to what you are trying to do? So I guess first question, how different is it? And then how far along do you think you are in having a good feel of how you do what you want to do and how well you're doing it?
I think it's hard to compare this year and last year because we haven't been consistent up front. In all honesty, we just that the consistency isn't there, and so I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your. Well, I'm not going to say that either.
But
the touch push,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and everyone who's listening. We just haven't been consistent up front, so I can't give a fair measurement. Comparison on how we were last year to this year. All I know is that we haven't been consistent. That is one of our biggest areas right now that we need to work on, especially myself and the offensive line. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and compare the offense because I think you know we're doing KP an injustice by not executing up front and not being consistent. I think I that's just honestly what I think. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, mate.
when you and I kind of can expect where your answer may go here, but I just wanted to ask you about Saquon in general and, you know, all the touches he had last year and coming back this year and wondering whether or not is he the same back. Do you get the sense that Saquon is the same great back that we all watched him play last year?
100%.
Yeah.
He's even hungrier now to even – you know, be better than last year. The hunger and drive I see every day is like increased tenfold. Like there's been no drop off for his mentality and the way he approaches the game. The only drop off that I see is just our consistency up front and executing on the detail and technique. That's it. Yeah. That's the same answer every week. And it's the same answer that you're going to get because it's the same question.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The explosive runs that I guess we became so accustomed to watching Saquon have last year hasn't really broke those off. I'm wondering how much does what the defenses are doing as far as having extra guys back there is preventing those big 20-yard, 25, 30-yard runs that we watched Saquon have last year?
Yeah, I think we do a great job of designing this game. We know we're going to get you know, they're going to load the box, seven-man box, eight-man box. We know that's what we're going to do. That's what they're going to do to us. So I think that we've done a great job at scheming runs to that, if that scenario were to happen in game. Where we failed is executing. And that's where every week I come back on the show and I say, you know, we're one block away. You turn the film on, you know, that's the case because we have a hat for a hat. And all it takes is the one guy to you know, make an error or, you know, not execute as well. You know, and that's happened on my part, too. It's part of my game that I have to work on and be better at for Saquon so we can spring those long runs and you know, make those make everyone see the great run game that we had last year. So, yeah.
You've mentioned the execution, and you said it. That has not been up to par every week, and I don't doubt it. Yeah. When you say that every week, it's not that we think that you're lying. I take that for what it's worth. You're a straightforward guy. I guess the question would be: the personnel is the same, aside from, you know, Mekhi to Tyler, with the same coach. Why do you think the execution from your standpoint, from the offensive line standpoint, has not been as good as you're used to or you expect?
great question. I think it's got, for me at least, for me when I watch film, I'm not going to speak on, you know, the difference between Mackay, and Tyler. I'm just not going to do that. I think for me, at least, the difference is just the focus. You know, your lapse in judgment, like a split second decision, is the difference between a plus and a minus in the NFL. And so, you know, if we're not focused for the whole amount, that leads to errors. You know, I think one of my favorite sayings that's on the wall is, victory favors the team that makes the least mistakes. And we thank God our defense is, you know, playing their socks off right now, man. They're keeping us in games, and so is our special teams. And, you know, I think moving forward, we've got to do a better job at, again, just handling and dominating our box on offense.
You guys play the Broncos on Sunday. They played last night. You said you were going to watch. I was wondering if you had any takeaways from watching them. Vic Fangio compared Baker to Bo Nix. That was one thing that we saw.
No, yeah.
From your perspective, from a defensive perspective, was there anything you saw with the Broncos that you filed away in the back of your brain for Sunday?
Did I say I was going to watch the game?
You did. You lied. You said that's what you told us. I have the tape.
He left Chickies and changed his mind.
I didn't watch that thing. I don't want to watch the Bengals. Yeah.
I caught maybe 2 minutes of that game.
So okay.
I turned off, and I was like, you know what? We're gonna attack it on Wednesday.
I guess one last question for me on the game last night. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a pretty terrible injury with Tyreek Hill. And, you know, you don't see these every week in the NFL, but pretty often there are, you know, injuries that you almost have to turn away from. Is that ever in your mind when you're playing? You know, it's such a violent sport, and there are so many injuries that are like that. Does it ever cross your mind when you're playing in the game?
No, it doesn't. Like I said, injuries are a part of the game, and it's something that is very unfortunate. It is for me, and playing offensive line and how technical it is, all I'm thinking about is how I can execute my job, and my technique. And so, honestly, when I'm out on the hash, like in between those hashes, that's all I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the play, thinking about the cadence, I'm thinking about the call, and then I'm thinking about my technique. And that's pretty much, I just do that over and over and over again until the game's done. And then, you know, kind of look at myself in the mirror. Did I give everything I had to this team, to the city, to the fans? You know, that is what I think about truthfully every game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine you'd have to, or it would, you know, you play, I guess, scared of getting hurt. That probably makes it more likely that it even happens. Well, 4-0, go in for 5-0, 1 o'clock against the Broncos. Good luck, and we will talk to you next week, and thank you for spending 12 minutes of your off day with
there
us.
There you go. There you go.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate right. you guys, man, as always.
All right thanks, brother. Jordan.
One game closer to throwing Steinberg.
Yes.
The Steinberg
toss. Oh, I forgot to ask him about this thing. He didn't sound like he was in the mood today, to be honest with you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have Jordan Mailata show on Monday. We're going to have a conversation about the media. He's going to say the media. And then say, you know what, brother? You're in the media now. Believe it or not, you are.
No, he's still a player.
Well, and he's in the media. He's got a name on his.
He's got a name on his show.
Name on the show. Name on the show, chairs at Chickies. What are we talking about here, buddy? Making demands? You're in the media, brother.
Yeah. By the way,
yeah,
we can officially pour it out for Kenyon Green. He got claimed by the Ravens.
Oh,
so he's on their practice
good
squad.
I have never seen a name signed and released and practice squad and released as many times as Kenyon Green.
Julian Vanderbilt, I think, is still the king with the Eagles.
Right. Vanderbilt.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
But that was more than 1 year, though, right?
That was multiple seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
You could sit a profile picture of Kenyon Green in front of me right now.
You wouldn't be able to.
I don't even know the number he wore or anything. I don't remember anything about Kenyon Green.
All I remember is they got him for CJ.
Yes, that's all I remember. Did he ever play in the preseason?
He did.
He did?
He did. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I thought he was always injured.
He was in. He definitely at least played once in the preseason.
I thought he was always injured in
Camp. We heard, you know, wasn't he a first round pick or second round pick or something?
Yeah, I think he was a first round pick. Yeah.
Didn't want to play football. Didn't want to play.
I tell you that.
Wow.
Danny Watkins all over again.
Yeah. Who was the other guy? There was another guy. You said, I'll never forget, you said, that guy don't want to play football.
Andre Dillard?
Maybe it was Dillard.
Andre Dillard.
Yeah,
oh, it was the Dillard. Sure, I do.
Still hanging around, though.
Where?
I think he's in San Fran.
Seriously?
I think so, yeah. He's a Titan for a little bit there.
They'll just put anything in a pair, shoulder pads, in a helmet, and just...
Dude, you could be a lineman for... As long as you are big and you want to be out there, kind of.
And somebody believes they can fix you.
Yeah.
So they look at the tools. They look at the body.
It's like being a seven-footer and
yeah.
Like, that dude's going to play forever.
Could jump out of the gym. You should see him warming up. The shot looks smooth. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's, online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you believe the AJ situation is fixable? 83.7% say yes. OG Wade, you're on WIP.
He doesn't think it's fixable.
No. Fellas, how we doing today?
He hasn't thought it was fixable for quite a while.
2 years. OG!
What's up, OG?
The hell's going on?
Ike, boy. Ike, what I play? Ike, what game I play?
He played a long game.
Yes, yes, yes. Listen, man, there's a such thing as liking a person from afar, and I think that's where I'm going to reserve my feelings for AJ at, is that I don't think that this offense, this Philadelphia Eagles team, is where AJ needs to be. I think AJ is too great of a receiver to be on this team. He needs to be on a team that throws the ball a lot, that, you know, that really airs it out. That's AJ's type of offense. This offense is not for AJ. That being said, there's a lot of different moving parts here. Landon Dickerson is clearly playing hurt. It's clearly hurting the run game. It's clearly hurting the team as a whole, because I don't know if y'all seen this. Saquon, for the first time that I've seen, looked frustrated at the blocking. Because he got hit. You're talking about, like, when Saquon was getting the ball last year, he was getting so many yards, would it be for contact?
Yeah.
He's getting yards on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Getting hit. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
That's not supposed to be. Not with, I mean, Landon Dickerson is 340-something, 60 pounds. There's no way a guard should be penetrating on the other side of your line of scrimmage. Tyler Steen, too light in the ass, okay? I get that they say he has they said he got a nasty streak with him. I don't see it.
Tyler Steen,
he does not scream nasty streak to me. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's not blocking. He's not moving nobody, put it that way, okay? Lane Johnson is playing hurt. I think the best thing for this team would be, after the Broncos game, is to rest Dickerson, Lane Johnson, and I'm going to be honest with y'all. A.J. Brown is playing with a hamstring. He's not running past receiver corners like he was before.
You are guessing he's playing with a hamstring.
Yeah, yes, okay. I'm guessing.
Okay.
He missed 90% of training camp. Now, when we had that open practice thing?
Yes.
He was not getting open on Quinyon Mitchell. He really wasn't. And I said, okay, well, maybe Q just got his number, whatever. But now that I'm looking at him against the Tampa's corners, which ain't none of them that damn good, he ain't getting open. He didn't run by or got open from none. All the passes that Jalen threw to him, he was literally covered. But like Mike Mayock said, throw it to him even if he's covered. Well, Jalen threw it to him while he was covered. I think y'all guys criticized Jalen throwing the ball out of bounds. Those were intentional out-of-bounds throws because
The one on the sideline was not. He just missed him.
He
it's
was
okay.
too close to the line.
He just missed him. It's okay. He just missed him. He missed him.
It was okay if he missed him.
Yes,
I
know. I know. We don't have to make up lies about what happened. He just missed him.
All right, well, let me tell my truth, and you tell yours.
You already had 3 minutes to tell your truth. I can talk.
Well, damn.
I can talk.
Okay. All right, so can I finish? I know you get
the feeling. We're not. Okay. OG, we're putting you on hold. You get a long runway. We are the hosts of the show. If during your call you say something that any one of the three of us wants to react to, we are going to react to it, and I don't need the can I finish thing, all right? Well, go ahead.
Okay. So what I seen with my own two eyes, not sure about y'all's.
Is that a drill?
No, it's a saw.
Uh-oh.
My workers are working right now.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's Justin doing? What's he making?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where we're going now.
Oh, here we go. We're having a little fun. Having a little back and forth.
I need to land my damn plane.
All right, land your freaking plane.
Just
all right.
Okay, listen. You know what? You know what I got to do? I got to pay a visit.
Oh, here we go.
Monday. Okay, I'm coming.
All right.
All right. Right.
Yeah, come and see me, Monday.
Yeah, come see the new setup.
Oh, not this Monday. Not next Monday.
Yeah, not this Monday.
We'll be at the ballpark. Yeah. We'll be at the ballpark.
Come see my shorts.
I like them chairs, too, but y'all, it looked like y'all had a guy up there from the Village
the Village
family.
What? Oh, Jack, you mean?
Who?
Yeah, Jack.
Oh, me?
In the shorts. Yeah, well, they looked a little short on YouTube.
Well, listen, they're above the knee now.
Yeah.
There you go. You just throw the thigh meat.
Hey,
come on,
man.
Throw the thigh meat.
All he needed was some sunglasses and a police hat.
Yep, there he goes. YMCA.
Okay.
YMCA,
okay.
Jack. So, speaking of nothing, next Friday, Friday. Oh my God, it's this week.
Yes.
I'm sorry, man.
You and OG got you frazzled.
You say it.
This Friday,
Stateside Live.
Exactly.
Yes.
Rally for Red October
on Friday.
You know the game is this week.
I'm sorry, I'm all mixed up because they're off this week, and I was thinking next week. Whatever.
The hunt for Red October.
Because I did this too. When we say they have the bye week, they have a bye round.
Yes,
they don't have a legitimate week as a bye week.
Right,
but the week. I mean, they have a bye week.
No, that's why it's confusing, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was messing with
you guys.
My head.
All you think about is stupid football.
No,
that's where bye weeks come from. Look, by the way,
the Rally for Red October Friday at Stateside Live.
Yes.
You may ask, what is Stateside Live? It is our friends at Stateside. The former Xfinity Live is now Stateside Live. So right there next to the Xfinity Mobile Arena, which used to be something else as well.
Yep.
You know where
yep.
I'm talking about.
Yep.
Right by the ballpark. We're going to get everybody ready for Phillies playoffs, which begins Saturday. We would love for you to come out. We will have
10 to 6, right?
What's that?
It's 10 to 6,
10 to
right?
6. Midday
yeah,
as well.
Midday and us.
Yeah. 2 to 6. 10 to 6. No, I'm just kidding. 10 to 6. You stop by at any time, specifically between 2 and 6. We're going to have great Phillies guests. I don't know if we can announce. We're going to have a very big Phillies guest.
Yes.
Very big Phillies guest, which is going to happen on Friday.
Should I give them a copy of my book?
At Stateside. You should give them all a copy
of your book.
Yeah,
give them all a copy of your book so you can get rid of them.
And then.
Why are you trying to keep me down?
Are you going to charge these people for your book?
You better charge everybody.
Oh, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you.
We'll see.
You gonna have books for sale?
Yeah. I'll give a little discount.
All right.
Guy wanted to order a $60 steak on me.
Yes, it can't give you a book.
But I didn't.
But I'm saying, though. the idea
yep.
that you wanted to.
Yep.
And I can't even get a book.
Can't even get a book.
You got a book.
I paid,
you paid for
book.
A book.
You didn't pay for shipping.
Nobody paid for shipping.
It's right. unbelievable, man.
I can't believe it is this Friday. It's this Friday, Stateside Live. We hope to see you there. Speaking of which, we'll talk a little Phil's next, figure out what's going on with the baseball playoffs.
I want another book, too.
With the High Hopes Jackie Baseball right. Report. Yeah, I want an additional book.
That's right.
To do with what I please.
He was whacking that thing.
No, it's not that. All right. 215-592-9494. High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. I have been told by our leader we can say exactly who will be on the show at the Red October Rally at Stateside Live on Friday, at least one of our guests. John Middleton.
Who you got? Oh!
Phillies managing partner, John Middleton,
all right.
will be on the show at 3 o'clock at Stateside Live with us.
There you go. He's coming over to Stateside Live.
Yes.
He's going to be amongst the people.
He will be amongst the people.
There
That's
going
to be awesome.
He is a man amongst the people, though.
He is. He is. Always talking to people during playoff games. All that good stuff.
My second favorite owner in the city.
That's good. That's great. Big of you. Big
so Josh Harris and then Middleton.
This is going to be awesome.
I wouldn't even consider Josh Harris in the city, man. He owns the Commanders.
Most importantly, right. I want to thank our fans.
John Middleton, do you think I'm going to stress at all thinking about what questions to ask Middleton?
Oh, I can. You might not be able to do the rest of the show.
I'll be up
thinking about that interview.
You'll come up with something.
4:30 tomorrow morning is when I start my work on that. I'm going to give myself tonight off, and then 4:30 tomorrow morning. I'm getting up, starting to work on questions.
Yeah.
Get ready, Mr. Middleton.
Well, yeah, we're going to grill you.
Yeah,
before the playoffs. Yeah.
Jack's so worried. Jack's so worried.
I'm not nervous.
I'll write down three questions. Spike will ask two of them.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And I'll get that one in there.
And I'm going to be too nervous to even talk to him. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
Don't worry. There's nothing to worry about.
What are you nervous for? Like, what are you talking? Yeah. I thought you guys hang out.
No.
You're not tight with...
Mr. Middleton? Eh.
Should I ask him if you should get it? I think it is... Love the Phillies. Love our partners with the Phillies.
Yeah.
The fact that Jack hasn't thrown out a first pitch.
It's a travesty. It really is.
Is a little much for me. If Kyle Schwarber can catch a first pitch for the Reds, then Jack can certainly throw out a first pitch for the Phillies.
Not even in a hype video or the video yearbooks.
Yeah, I've been in a hype video.
Spike rang the bell.
He did.
For the Sixers.
Biggest podcast in the history of the world.
I've been a team captain.
You played for the team.
Yep. Well, I'm just saying, I'm just pointing out the things that we've done with the organization. Hell, even I've thrown out a first pitch at a spring game.
I know.
Twice.
So we'll see.
You got to get Fritz out there to throw out a first. Even Hugh Douglas is throwing out pitches out there.
Actually, that no offense, Hugh, that's insulting. Hugh is throwing out a first pitch and you're not? We gotta somebody call whoever we call Brazier.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna say
we're
it
not
to
gonna get him in for the playoffs though,
dude. I'm saying it to Mr. Middleton on Friday. The first thing Jack needs to throw out
for a playoff game.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna show him the tape of you against the camera.
The only chance of that would have been 23, but
yeah, that was probably our best shot right there.
Yeah.
Oh, because
but once
of the
again,
ovation.
I had nothing to do with it, and everything's been erased from history. Yeah.
All right.
Did you mention that in the book?
The ovations?
Yeah. You did mention it in the book?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I wrote the chapter in the 23 seasons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, should I give him a book and should I charge him for the book? He's got plenty of money, but also I want Schwarber back. So, yeah,
you want him to keep as much of the money as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I will give him. Well, hopefully. I'm going to write a nice emotional message in it, too. Because me and Middleton are, I think, Mr. Middleton, sorry, are very emotional when it comes to the Phillies.
Emotional.
Yeah, no, I messed up. Mr. Middleton, yes, love you. But, like,
who's going to cry more if they win the World Series, you or Mr. Middleton?
That's my question to Mr. Middleton.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, you'll both be a mess.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be on top of the world. Your little podcast will be...
Now it's a little podcast. Yeah. I appreciate that. No, I appreciate
that. All right, let's do the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. A little podcast.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball, Fritz.
Says Jackie Baseball.
I mean, you stole the podcast, if we're being honest.
Well, no, didn't steal it at all. It was a hostile takeover more than anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I guess is still stealing.
Yeah.
So
it sounds better though. I like the hostile takeover.
Yep. So tomorrow, open practice, intra squad, Wednesday night. Me and Seltzer on the call.
Of course.
They make me call all the open practices. Eagles, Phils, doesn't matter.
Hold on, you and Seltzer are calling the Wow.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Nice.
So who's doing play-by-play? Who's doing color?
So I told Seltzer to do the lead.
Yeah, Fritz doesn't want to do the play-by-play. Yeah,
don't you have practice for that when you were on the college baseball team?
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to do like strict play-by-play, but I don't know. Like, just let me be the color guy.
Yeah, he wants to chime in and out. He doesn't want to be restricted. Yeah.
We're auditioning.
He doesn't want to be sitting there doing reads.
No.
You're auditioning. Oh, God.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
Who knows? An old shiesty Fritz got up his sleeve. No, but I need him to, just set me up. I don't want to do that.
That's going
to
be pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's 30,000 people. They sold 30,000 tickets for that. It's crazy.
For an intra-squad game, yep.
We're carrying it.
Yes.
Yeah, like we're
carrying Jack and James.
Well, I didn't know if they were just doing it at the... I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, we're being at the ballpark.
Yeah, so we're actually using airtime to cover this.
Uh-huh. Hold on. It's Fritz at 6. We'll be way better doing it during...
Okay. No, you're right.
Yeah, at the ballpark.
You're right. No, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Congratulations.
Oh, it's a huge accomplishment, so that's great. That's great. No Rojas. He's not going to be brought up for the... NLDS, he's dealing with a quad injury.
Yes, I saw that was an option.
Yeah, also, Jordan Romano is activated off the IL.
Well, why they activated Alvarado, too. Is that so they can practice this week?
It's just procedural.
Oh, okay.
And then once the official roster is announced, I assume Romano won't be on.
If Romano's on the roster, I'm not watching any of the games.
I kind of need him on the roster.
Yeah. We didn't come this far not to watch games.
I think all the sleep I'm going to get... I'll text you guys while you're watching the games. Guess what I'm doing? Not sleeping. Watching Jordan Romano.
Sleeping. Hunter Green versus Blake Snell tonight, 9:05, Dodgers-Reds.
Okay.
It's going to be a late start.
Let's go Reds.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's all Reds stuff.
Nah, I'm watching that, I think. Or at least I'm going to start watching it.
It starts at 9:30?
9:05.
That got me to 10.
Yeah. 10:30.
It's not like the Reds getting the playoffs every year. I got to see some of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be gone after tomorrow.
Or take a little, 7 to 9 cat nap. Wake up, bang, Hunter Green on your screen.
7 to 9. I don't get home until 7.
Yeah, well, you think I'm gonna go home and take a cat nap after? No,
I don't know. I don't know what you guys do when you go
dinner.
Home.
Yeah, I spoon with Sparty.
I'm sure you do. So, all right. Let's go inside the brain of Jack here a little bit, okay?
Hello in there.
Not much going on.
Yes.
A lot of air.
Hello.
Big echoes.
Yes.
So, and really this is for Ike.
Oh, God.
Because, I sometimes need Ike to guide me. Because 2 weeks ago, I was very like, I don't care who we play. Like, just give me whoever.
Don't tell me you're getting nervous.
Oh, he doesn't want to face that.
I'm getting nervous.
God.
It's just, I see 12 out of 25 on ESPN. They're the favorites to win the World Series in every sports book. And, like, I am getting more towards the nervous phase than the excited phase.
Yes. This is... This is so predictable, man.
Oh, yeah.
This guy.
They're different.
Closer we get to games, the tighter he gets. And now he sees everybody nationally is picking the Phillies.
Yep. Oh, they're the trendy pick. They're the trendy pick.
Yeah, it makes him even more nervous.
Pick the Mariners. Pick anyone. Just don't make the – they were the trendy pick last year. I know people are saying the Dodgers were the favorite. I understand. But the Phillies were like, I don't know. Don't want to face that team in the postseason. Just stop picking the Phillies to win the World Series, please.
Yeah, imagine that. And this is without Zach Wheeler.
Yeah. I mean, they
imagine if they had Zach Wheeler right now.
Well, they've really rallied. You have to give them credit for how they've played after Zach Wheeler went out.
And they're playing well, man.
I just wish the Dodgers hadn't put it all together when they put it all together. It just seemed like they were they just sort of just coasting through the regular season? Because it just, I woke up one day, all of a sudden the Dodgers starting rotation is dominant.
They got healthy. The starting rotation got healthy.
When Ohtani is pitching.
Now. That helped. Now, the bullpen's still kind of a disaster. They blew a couple of those games in the Diamondback series at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then the biggest thing is Mookie got hot. Like, Mookie was hitting at a sub-700 OPS for most of the season. And then the last month, he really picked it up and kind of completed their lineup. So
what type of change do you give the Reds in this series?
About, like... 5%, like 5 to 10%.
Now, even with the pitching,
I know, but like the Dodgers can match them.
Yeah,
you know, the Dodgers can match them pitching wise, and I don't like the Reds. I don't think they have the offense.
The lineup sucks. Yeah,
and the bullpen's not great. They have like whatever. It's not a great bullpen.
Well, by the way, be careful what you wish for. The Reds win the series, and then all of a sudden we lose in four.
They're our team.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you got to get one of them.
I know. It's just, I remember doing that with the Sixers when everything broke right. Oh, wow. We got the Wizards, Hawks, and now we got the Hawks. Oh, really? Not only are you going to lose to the Hawks, your entire franchise is going to implode.
Yeah.
So
it still hasn't recovered.
Yeah, you got to play who you got to play.
I'm not rooting, no matter what, I'll be nervous because the Reds would have the magic if they beat this Dodgers team.
But if you needed my confidence, don't worry, brother. You see the hand?
Yeah, it's not moving.
Man, we're going.
And
Spike said it months ago. I bought it. We're going.
We're winning the World Series.
We're going, man.
Yeah. I hope they win the World Series. But then final thing here. So one of the things that I feel heading into this postseason is, and Bryce has been a great overall player, right? And has had big moments in the postseason, not just Bedlam, but 23 and whatever. This is a big show-me kind of postseason for Bryce Harper. From the standpoint of what guy are we getting, I think, for the rest of his career? Is he a postseason riser now that kind of plays the regular season and can still turn it up when the lights are brightest? Because the guy that we've seen for this year has not looked like the same Bryce Harper. Still a good year. 265-ish, 27 home runs. But, like, is he still going to be that dude in October? And that's the thing that one of the things I'm most intrigued by, is he going to put the Superman cape back on? He talked about how heading into October, like, this is my time of the year.
Damn right.
And I like that quote. I like the confidence. It's going to be really big from that standpoint. Is he still that guy?
It's September 30th?
Yes.
You know, tomorrow begins the greatest 31-day stretch of the year.
Mm.
It's the month of October.
Mm.
It's the best month of the year.
Mm.
Not only because it's football season.
Yes, Halloween, too.
Well, you got that thrown in there.
Yeah.
But it's me and Bryce's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shoot.
This is why. This is the Bryce time of the year.
Yes.
Yes, this is his time of the year.
Yes.
I'm trying to speak this into existence, man. Yes. So, he needs to step up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're not winning the World Series with Bryce Harper not being a major factor in doing it. So, you're not beating the Dodgers without Bryce Harper being a major factor in doing it. So, I think those top three guys have to set the tone really for the whole team. If those three are doing what they're doing, and I'm talking about Trey, Schwarber, and Bryce, I think the rest of the lineup, it's easier for them to contribute.
Well, and the Trey thing, we hope, you know, they say he's healthy. Mm-hmm. We remember how long it took him to trust, he even said this the other day, trust running at full speed. It took him months last year after the hamstring thing. And I agree with you on Bryce, but I also, baseball in the postseason comes down to moments, and what this can't be is a lose a series and point to an OPS thing, because there will be moments where he could shift the series. And look, he hit well against the Mets, but there was a moment against the Mets where he did not come through. Yeah. And I know it's hard, right? You're a hitter. You're good if you succeed 3 out of 10 times. But if you are a legend in those times, you come through. So it will be about moments. There will be moments where he could shift the series. And those are we will remember, if he has a big hit and a big spot that wins the series, and his OPS for the series is 673, nobody will remember. Right. Nobody will remember what his OPS is if he comes through when he needs to come through, you know.
And I agree.
It's going to take all of them. We can't have, you're right, we can't have a Schwarber series where he's absent. I don't think any of them can. This is this year, after Zach Wheeler comes out, Zach Wheeler, you know, goes out with the injury, this is on everybody now.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I think they want this moment. Something struck me when Daryl Morey was talking at the Sixers press conference last
week. Oh, yeah?
He talked about about the Sixers.
What struck you?
Well, he talked about the Sixers wanting, he talked about the Eagles being the love of everybody in town and the Phillies getting ready for Red October, that they want to get back to being in that conversation and being in the postseason. I only say that to say, I think the Phillies feel that too. They've been a postseason team, but they didn't finish, right? In this town, you climb the mountain, right, to where you're a perennial contender. And then being a perennial contender isn't enough. You got to finish the job.
Yep.
Eagles finished the job last year. Mm-hmm. They won the Super Bowl, right? They won it.
In case you haven't heard.
Yes. They won it. But the Phillies, their run began at the same time. When the Eagles went to the Super Bowl in 22, the Phillies went to the World Series.
Yep.
The Eagles had a collapse in 23. Phillies went back, collapsed at the end, but they were still in the NLCS.
Yep.
They saw the Eagles bounce back from those and still go win a title. I believe they they have a team good enough to win the title, and they've been waiting to get to this moment, to the postseason. It sucks that Zach Wheeler isn't here, because this thing would almost feel like a lock if he was a part of the rotation. But I do believe those three at the top, they're waiting for this moment. Trey Turner needs to cement himself in this town. He needs a postseason moment.
Yep.
Kyle Schwarber, as much as we love him, he doesn't really have postseason. Like, I don't remember a postseason moment with Schwarbs.
Yeah, I mean, he let off the Musgrove game.
Well, he got the home run last year.
The Senga game. But in game 3 of the NLCS, he had the home run off Musgrove to start it. He had, NLCS 22, he's good. In the World Series, remember, he hit the one in game 6 down in
Houston. In Houston, yes.
Gave him the 1-0 lead.
Yes.
It's been a lot of just solo shots, but not like a marquee home run.
I think those three need it. And Bryce, them hitting will take the pressure off the other guys. And you know Bader is going to win a game for us.
Oh, of course.
He's a lock to win a game for us with his play.
Let's beat the Dodgers. Let's just go win the World Series.
We beat the Dodgers. Oh, man.
They're either going to lose the Dodgers or win the World Series.
Or win it all.
That's pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's quite a hedge there for you.
Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah, all right. 215-592-9494. Jordan Princeton's a Phillies guy. Jordan, you're on WIP.
I am a Phillies guy. I'm still an Eagles guy, but I'm definitely a Phillies guy over an Eagles guy. And I'll take all the flack that comes with that. You know, when you're on hold for a while, there's just so much to touch on. I got to sit here and pick and choose what I want to take over. Bismarcky, Just a Friend, you don't need a remake of that. That's a classic.
I agree.
He came on stage with the Beastie Boys. I think it was like 2000 at the Spectrum, or maybe it was the Wachovia, whatever it was. Come on, you don't even know what the words are. He's like, it's just great. I love that. The other music point, I love that you guys start out with Rage. You know, my third concert was Rage Against the Machine at the Electric Factory in August of 1996. I was 13 years old. Shout out to Mike Spiegel's mom. I don't know what the hell she was thinking, bringing a couple of 13-year-old kids to that show, but my God, what an experience. I had my back against the back wall of the Electric Factory. I was terrified.
But yeah, dude, they used to fill that place up. I think capacity at the – it's not the Electric Factory anymore. It's the –
yeah, what's it called
Franklin
now?
Franklin Music Hall.
Franklin Music Hall, because that's where the lottery party was. The capacity now is like 2,000. They used to put 3,000 people in there. So that area in the back that is all empty now would be people all the way up to the back door. And no place would get sweaty and gross like the Electric Factory did for a show like that. Man, you seeing Rage there is pretty big.
At 13.
Yeah, that's big, man. That's big.
The first show was April of that year, also at the Electric Factory, Offspring, AFI, MXPX. That was a lineup for the ages back then.
There you
go. Very, very good show.
Yep.
You got so sweaty in there, you would slide out the door. You didn't even have to walk out. You just kind of slid out because everyone was all damp.
Yeah, Ike, as soon as you would walk in, your skin would immediately become, it's like you were coated in grease when you walked in. You got sweaty as soon as you walked in. Good times, good memories.
You just slip in, slip out, slip past people. Yep. Boy, being a kid with no responsibilities was a hell of a thing.
It sure was.
I got a couple of Philly sports things to touch on because I think this is a sports radio show. So first, really quickly, Jack said he didn't see this. Anyone get a 25% discount offer on Sixers home games in their social media feed over the last couple of days? If that's not a sign that Joel Embiid is not going to play much this season, I don't know what is. But I would take maybe 75% off with a free refund if JoJo's in the lineup. That might get me to buy some tickets to the Sixers this year in advance.
I think they're just trying to sell tickets. I don't think it has anything to do with Joel. But I got the email. Yeah, the 25% off. And you know what? They're going to have to, you know, as quickly as people buy Sixers tickets when they're good, they disappear when they're not. And after last year, they're going to have to earn people spending money for those tickets again. So, by the way,
anyone that I knew that had season tickets has gotten rid of them. I mean, the cost is like seeing an NBA playoff game just to sit 10 rows off the floor and to have the privilege of buying a 41-game package. So Josh Harris, good at private equity right now. I'm not good at running the finances of the Sixers. Want to hit on A.J. Brown for a second. You know, as I listen to all this commentary, you can kind of tell who has children and who doesn't. Because I think if you have children, you ignore the little tantrum that A.J. Brown is throwing here. You know, Jack, you've got young kids, right? If they don't get what they want, you sit there and coddle them? No, you walk away.
No way.
You let them tantrum, and then they eventually come around. So, you know, I think he wants this attention. I think this negative attention is bad for the team. It's bad for the city. And if this keeps up, you know, we're not a throwing offense right now. So I get the whole, we got a guy on either side of the field and they'll stretch the field. A.J. Brown ain't stretching the field right now. He's not creating separation. He's not getting open. So if he was doing all those things and complaining, maybe I'd pay him a little bit of mind. But right now, you tweet all you want, bro. I'm going to ignore that stuff.
You can ignore, but he's not a child. You know, I understand the point that you're making, but he's a 27-year-old millionaire wide receiver for the biggest team in the city. So as much as the idea of just letting him throw his tantrum is it doesn't work.
We're not going to ignore it. Yeah, that's for sure. I understand you're saying he's acting like a child.
Yes.
So, yeah, you try to ignore it. And I think some fans will take that sort of approach toward Jordan because they just want to focus on their team and not the stuff that comes along with it when it gets like this. But we are not doing that. Yes, yes, we will not do that. We will talk about it.
No, yeah.
Well, you guys have 4 hours of airtime.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, it's interesting.
The Phillies aren't playing.
And you know what? This whole getting open thing, I think it's bunk, honestly. When I see Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and all these great wide receivers catching balls, it's not like they're 5 yards of separation between them and the cornerback. That's not what happens.
Not all the time.
Yeah,
anyway.
It happens sometimes.
Sure.
But that's
not the norm.
That hasn't really been A.J. Brown to this point anyway. Mm-hmm. It's been that he will fight and get the ball when there's a guy there. It's just throw it to him. That's what his point is. He's always open. Not that there's never a defender there, but that
throw it anyway.
Yeah,
I'm
throw
open.
It anyway. Yeah.
The guy's handle is always open. I'm not seeing that right now, but we're not going to, you know, I'm going to drop that for the time being.
Because
Here's the real reason for my call.
Well, you got 60 seconds.
I'm in the Poconos this weekend. Go. With a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
All we're doing is debating who they like more on WIP. So I want to give you guys some of the feedback. Now, I started as a morning show guy, mainly because I like seltzer. I'm a big seltzer guy. Mm. Love the... I like that. I like that. The camera, he's starting to grate on me. So I'm gravitating towards the afternoon show. But a good buddy of mine, he's saying you guys are too bro-y. And I have to come on and say, Eric, if you're listening right now, this is entertainment. You know, Joe yelling at people, cutting everybody else off in the room. I think you guys are a much better program, a much more entertaining program.
Well, first of all, it is a bro show because we are bro-y. Yes,
guys. On a sports radio station.
Yeah, we're not going to sit here and yell at each other all day for 4 hours every day.
No. And you know what? Older ladies love us. You have some fans.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
you know, the fact is that if you're acting like you are above this kind of humor, you're full of it. Everybody likes fart jokes. Everyone does.
Come on, it's Jordan, join the afternoon show. Yes. Join us.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm with two boys. I mean, it is a rotation of fart jokes and other disgusting humor here. Yes. It's all about inside jokes. So I'm here. I'm here for the broiness. I'm here for the inside jokes. And frankly, Spud, I'm here when you get a little mouthy with the callers. Like, oh, gee, wait, you put that guy in his place today. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. This is your show.
I think guy telling me to keep quiet and let him finish. You've been talking for 3.5 minutes, bro. Yeah, thank you for the call, Jordan. Yeah, yes. Is this show bro-y? Yes.
Yes,
but guys.
But we welcome everyone.
Yes.
It's just we are who we are, you know?
What do you want us to do?
Yeah.
Meet men.
Yes.
Sweating.
Yes.
What? No. Oh, that's right. We do meet.
Jack.
What's going on, man?
We even got a vegan on the show.
Yes. We got a little of everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Struggling young father, too.
Yes. Water sandwiches.
By the book.
Yeah. Betting on sports during the show.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Funniest things have happened the last 24 hours.
Oh, in the top 5 at 5? That's what's coming
out.
That's always a good one.
All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.